This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs lineman Joe Valerio and I discuss the Chiefs' Sunday night football victory against the Buccaneers and preview the Monday night football game against the Raiders. Joe, there was so much talk, and rightfully so, about Patrick Mahomes' wizardry against the Bucs, that I think it overlooks the real story of the game. The running game, the Chiefs ran the ball 37 times for 189 yards. That's a 5.1 average, while limiting the Bucs to three rushing yards. I mean, that's the game right there.
That really is, right? You know me, Jeff. I love to look at the box scores, and I love to analyze things in sort of a laboratory as opposed to, you know, being – tainted by the emotion of a game, right? And I like to go back and look and just kind of really analyze the data and the stats and things. And that is something that really, really jumped out. I mean, that's the first thing. And I'll tell you, and here's where in the rushing game, where it made me most happy and brought a smile to my face. The longest rush we had was Clyde had that 20-yarder, right? Mm-hmm. But his average was 4.8. Isaiah only had a 9-yard long rush. His average was 5.7. You can't really throw Patrick in because of the scrambles and stuff. Right. I mean, he averaged 8.5 yards. He had an 11-yard run, but it throws things off a little bit. Those two guys with, you know, didn't get their average per rush thrown off by like a, you know, a botched play by the defense.
You had a lot of chunks.
And that's what makes a lineman happy. And that's what should make an offensive coordinator happy. And that's what should make the fans happy. I know it's not always the sexiest thing when a team just, you know, we call it ground and pounds, but you know, it's what separates, man. And it's what's going to separate this team from the pack when things don't always go right for the quarterback. You know, Patrick's not going to have a night like he had the other night with all the magic and the wizardry every night. You just have to appreciate that about the quarterback position. But if you can go to that running game like that, that's what's going to, you know, really seal the deal for this team and put them. And I'll tell you what it is, Jeff, I've been batting this around in my brain, trying to think what was different.
Yeah,
you know, what's going,
right,
you could say, well, it was the line play. I mean, the line played well. They were coming together. I was watching their double teams. They were pushing people around. To me, it's the competition right now between Clyde and Isaiah. That's what, if I were to pinpoint something on it, I saw some tweets that I loved. I wrote it down because I was like, I got to remember that. People were saying that Isaiah Pacheco is running like it's the last play of his career on every play. And that's what it looks like. It just literally
much
looks
younger
like
legs, the legs of a rookie, but the attitude that his career is could be over right there.
And I love that. He is hurting the ground when he runs. And I'm telling you, I think it's pushing Clyde. I really do. I think it's pushing Clyde to get back to some of the tough runs that we saw in him earlier on in his career as well. Not that he's super old, but in those very early parts of his career where, you know, he was going for that extra yard. I'm telling you, I think it's the competition between those two that's really driving their play, and I'm loving it because that's what you need. And I know that Andy, you know, tried to do that with some positions this year. You know, he tried to create some of that competition. He did it at right tackle. You know, Andrew Wiley earned the job, and now I think he's trying to do it at running back, and it's working because those two guys are running like the cameras are on them, and you know they're going to be sitting in the meeting room on you know Monday, talking about it and watching it with their teammates, and they both want to look really good for the coaches and their team. So I'm telling you, I think that's pushing those guys just to new limits, which I'm loving because the line played great. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from their technique and the chemistry and the coming together. But they didn't play like that much better than they had been playing. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm really thinking it's the competition between those two guys.
That, Joe, that's fascinating to hear. So you really didn't see, you know, because you were rightfully so concerned about the positioning of the linemen that was kind of mucking up the running game. You didn't see that much of a difference. It's really in the running backs just running so hard.
Yeah, they're running hard, and well, I think what it's doing is it's creating a sort of like this vicious circle, right? Where it's you know the running backs are running so hard, the line is starting to push more. I do with all due respect to the line, I did see a lot more push from them, and I saw a lot more of their hips together and moving the line of scrimmage, as opposed to, like, remember we were talking about butt blocking and position blocking on the last pod, or at least the one before we had Tim Grunhardt on. But the you know I saw a lot less of that out of them. I mean, you know, they're definitely working together to move the line of scrimmage forward, as opposed to trying to position. And that's helping. So, but you know, but what I think what's happening is, I think it's all feeding off of itself, and it's all feeding, they're feeding off each other. The way the running backs are running, the way the line's blocking, and it's just like it's creating this force that is moving, you know, the line of scrimmage, and that's what you want to see. It just, you see what it does. Like, just, you know, you see the commitment to the run and what it does to linebackers. And you know, you saw when Patrick was pressing the line of scrimmage and how the linebackers were coming up. And you know, you saw when Clyde and Isaiah were just pounding yards and the line was pounding, the linebackers have to come up. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, Travis hits him with a screen. He hits him with a little dink and dunk. And it just, I'm telling you, if they can continue down that road, you know, I don't care about the fact that Patrick Mahomes didn't have as many yards as Tom Brady. I mean, my God, I don't know what it is about the media this year. It's just, you know, it's just something about, you know, they're just trying to find whatever they can wrong with Patrick. You know, he played amazing. You don't have to throw for 350 yards to have an amazing game as a quarterback. You know, you have to play off your team. You got to feed off your team. You got to do call, make the right calls at the right time. Throw the ball in the ground, you know, when you don't have something. You know, he's just making really good decisions. And to me, that's the stuff that you can't. You know, okay, so Tom Brady threw for 300 plus yards. Well, guess what? They couldn't get anything going in the running game. What else was he going to do?
Right.
You know? So.
Mahomes clearly had a great game, and you know everyone's talking about the touchdown, of course, where kind of pirouettes, avoids Devin White, who's a spectacular athlete, kind of spins around, hits Clyde Edwards-Helaire for a touchdown. People forget that he almost did the same thing. I thought it was almost as spectacular. The Chiefs' second drive, they have a third and one. He avoids the sack of Carlton Davis, a good player, kind of spins out of it. Hits Juju Smith-Schuster for a first down. I mean, both those play, like if that touchdown play hadn't happened, I feel everyone would have been talking about that other play. So really,
Yeah.
really fantastic. And Joe, the one thing, last thing I'll say about kind of the running game and stuff, this is a little bit of a flip of actually, you know, this is everyone talking about a rematch of Super Bowl 55. This is a little bit of a reverse, that kind of a bizarro version of the Super Bowl. Like I thought the Bucks actually in that game kind of hammered the Chiefs with a running game. You know, I know the big story of that was the pass rush on Mahomes and the offensive line falling up, but the Chiefs kind of, or excuse me, the Buccaneers in that game kind of wore down the Chiefs with their running game. Fournette had a really good game. Ronald Jones even had some nice carries. This is the reverse. I thought the Chiefs abandoned the running game way too early in that Super Bowl, put too much pressure on Mahomes. That kind of the Bucks completely abandoned the running game. So just kind of interesting how it played out so differently.
Yeah, I mean, six carries. I mean, you know, you got such a big dude like Fournette. Like, what are you doing? I mean, I know they were trying to utilize him out of the backfield a little bit, and he did have a decent, you know, he had that nice long catch and, you know, and run, and he was definitely, they were definitely using him in ways you wouldn't expect to use a body like that. The guy is, he's a beast. And so, you know, to only actually hand the ball off six times is crazy. I can't believe they would just sort of like try to win it with Tom's arm. And I do, you know, I give the Buccaneers line a lot of credit. I thought Tom was actually relatively well protected. I think he was, you know, they got after him a little bit. I mean, we had
And they
five
blitzed
hits.
it. From what I saw, Joe, the Bucks, or excuse me, the Chiefs blitzed a ton. So I guess credit to the, is that what you saw? It seemed like they were constantly coming with pressure, maybe thinking that Bucks line with all the injuries would not hold up very well.
Yeah, and Tom made a couple nice plays. I mean, he made a nice couple of moves out of the backfield. I mean, he still has pretty decent feet for a guy in his mid-40s. But, you know, I thought their line did a good job. I think really, you know, where the Chiefs won that game was basically, you know, at the line of scrimmage, you know, at the line of scrimmage and in what I would call the seven-man box, right? Like the four downs and the three linebackers. I mean, that's really where – you know, where they won the game. They didn't win it in the offensive backfield. You know, they didn't win it by sacking Tom Brady like seven times, pull a Derek Thomas day where, you know, you get seven sacks in a game all by yourself. You know, I just thought they won the game by just really taking away, you know, that sort of taking away the line of scrimmage, obviously, and forcing them to abandon the run, you know, the intermediate, you know, pass game. And they, you know, they made Tom Brady, you know, try to make plays, which you knew he was going to do. You know, they still scored 31 points. I mean, wasn't, you know, while they, you know, really shut them down in the run game. I mean, that's still, you know, there's definitely some things to learn from that game that the Chiefs have to get into the video and they've got to get into the, you know, into the heads of these guys, you know, that they can't, you know, let's not over celebrate this win. We, you know, offense is rolling back on track. Defense did an unbelievable job when they needed to. Obviously we won in the special games area with the turnover
after,
on the first
after that
play.
Last game that really lost it. You're right. I mean,
think
about, yeah, the Colts, they start the game kind of, or not starting the game, but near the beginning of the game, muffing a punt. In this one, they force a fumble to lead to a score. It's really, yeah, I mean, that's the difference right there.
Yeah, it was, you know, so they really, you know, they won in all three facets, but I would say, you know, the what we let Tom Brady do, and okay, he's Tom Brady, I get it, but, you know, what we let him do, I think, was, you know, we only sacked him once, and you know, we didn't force him to throw any picks. You know, that's Tom Brady, right? He's not going to throw a ton of interceptions. And, you know, he found his spots when he needed to. I just think that they couldn't get anything going in the running game, and that really hamstrung them to try to really force the ball. But, you know, definitely some things to learn from on defense. But all in all, man, it's so good to be talking about how well the defense plays right now and how well they're playing and how they've, you know, opened the season up in these first four games where, you know, we felt like that was our Achilles heel that you and I'd be talking about each week. Oh, man, I hope the defense can stop this and do that.
And they, you know, they eventually kind of get it together, but it was never beginning of the season for the last 3 years. It was never like great early on. It would
right.
coalesce later this season.
And we're through the Joe Valerio preseason now, right? September's over.
We're in October.
I can stop saying, you know, September is the new preseason. We're over it. We're 3-1, right where we want to be. We knew going in, granted how it's turning out or not, you know, we knew that this was going to be an incredibly tough 8 games. Everybody talked about it. The NFL record for, you know, historical, you know, openings for a first 8 games. Pretty amazing that's we're right where we need to be. And the Chiefs are grooving right now. And I'm just, I think fans should be really happy with where they are.
The only downside, Joe, is everyone's favorite Believe in Chiefs drinking game. It can no longer, when we say, September is a new preseason.
That's it. That game is over. But that's all right. I'll pop it in there every once in a while just to keep people on their toes.
Well, Bet Online remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. You'll find the latest odds, matchup info, player news, and game trends. And this is your continued source for all sports wagering info. Bet Online features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events like MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, to receive your rewards. Bet Online, where the game starts. And Joe, Bet Online has their early line is the Chiefs winning by 7 against the Raiders on Monday night. What do you, is that kind of what you see?
Nah. I mean, I don't want to pull the Homer card out. I mean, look, the Chiefs are coming home for Monday night. They're 3-1. They just beat the vaunted Bucks, right? They put Tom Brady in his place. come on, this that place is going to be rocking. Derek Carr is going to sound like, I'm going to use the term I use, you know, when people used to describe the Seattle Kingdom, it's going to be like he has a spaghetti pot on his head and people are hitting it with a metal spoon. That's how loud it's going to be in the quarterback's helmet on Monday night. And I don't see that. I don't know. I think that line's going to change as this week progresses. I'm seeing this as a 2-touchdown win for the Chiefs. 14 point win, 35-21, type game where the Chiefs put up some points like they did against the Bucks. The Raiders are still going to be here to play. It's Raider week. It's still AFC West. They can still pull a trick or two out of their hats, but I just don't, they got Josh Jacobs, cause you don't know what he's a guy that's always scared you and I, right?
He's that good, right? He's played the Chiefs well for sure.
Yeah. So, look, but I still don't see it even being close like it was against the Bucks, even that close. I see it's an easy 14 point win, where they're just kind of like, they jump out early and they just get ahead of this team. I'm not seeing it, right? I'm just not feeling it right now with looking at the way the Raiders are playing, the way they've gone about it. I liked, I thought the overtime game was gutsy against the Cardinals. I thought they gutsed it out. Beating the Broncos, okay. I'm just really, not impressed with the Broncos. So,
no,
I don't see it, Jeff. I don't know where they're coming up with that 7 points unless they know something we don't know. But I see this as a definite touchdown, a 2-touchdown game.
Joe, this is going to sound crazy because we're talking Raider week. We're talking Monday Night Football. This is a big deal. Is there any chance for a letdown? I know this sounds crazy, but the Bucs was such a big deal. This is the Bucs, you got Tom Brady. It's Sunday Night Football. Most importantly, it's a rematch when they got whooped at the Super Bowl. So much there. And then you look the next week, they have the Buffalo Bills, who that's kind of we'll you can look down the line. That's the Chiefs' main competition in the AFC. I mean, and that was such an epic game last year. I mean, that's going to be a huge game.
Yeah, no, I know it's definitely a trap game. It's a definite sandwich game, right? I mean, especially given the fact of where the Raiders are now. If the Raiders were 4-0, and they had beat handily, some of the teams that they played, if they were coming in here, just with a little bit more, I mean, I know that they're going to have some momentum beating the Broncos, but I just, here's why I think it won't be a trap game or a sandwich game or whatever you want to call it between, it's like a piece of bologna between, a nice Italian roll, right? Like, you got the Bucks on one side and the Bills on the other. I'm hungry. Can you tell? We're recording this
we're
evening.
We're recording this during dinner time. So listeners there, it's understandable.
In case anybody was wondering. but, if the Chiefs have such a chip on their shoulder right now, I think the fans, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, everybody associated with Patrick Mahomes, just they have such a chip on their shoulder right now, just because of some of the disrespect and, just all you see on social media, right, is just everybody's just railing on Patrick. The Chiefs aren't getting any respect. And it's just like from all the big pundits. And that's why I don't see it being a letdown game. If the Chiefs were the Chiefs of 2 or 3 years ago, where they were rolling and everybody was pumping them up and everybody was Chiefs, yeah, I could see it. I just think this team, Andy's got them playing with such a chip on their shoulder right now, and Patrick is so fired up. That's why I can't see it being a trap game, because I just think they have too much going. Does it have all the makings of one? Absolutely. Like we said, sandwiched between a couple of big games, but I think it's number, you throw in the fact that it's Raider week, it's Monday night. And I just have a feeling that the Chiefs are just going to be playing this way with a vengeance each and every week, no matter who's coming. because I just think the disrespect that they feel like they're getting right now for a team that has done and achieved and accomplished what they have done. And I was not that kind of player. I didn't like say, oh, you know, we get no respect. It's us against the world, mm-hmm. you know, and we were, and Marty Schottenheimer teams were never like that. But for some reason, it's taken a turn on this team. And I think, again, I know I'm belaboring this point, but I think it's taken this team to new levels now. And they're going to continue to earn the respect and feel like they have to earn the respect of the league and the fans and the pundits each and every week. So anyway, that was a really long answer to a really short question. That's why I don't see it being a sandwich game. And that's why I see it being a two touchdown or a two score win for sure.
You know, before the season, I looked at the schedule and I thought this would be a very tough game, because look at the Raiders. They were a playoff team last year. They added Davante Adams. They added Chandler Jones. But they just have not looked good. Derek Carr has not played well, 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, you know, 61.8% completion percentage. Back in the 90s, that would be good. In this day and age, that's really subpar. And they have other weaknesses. Their offensive line, which several years ago used to be the strength of the team, is really a weakness. The back end of their defense, there's some holes there. Joe, I think you mentioned Josh Jacobs, which he's given the Chiefs problems before. I think if you're looking for, again, I also see the Chiefs winning by a couple touchdowns, but if you're looking for keys to the game, I think he is one. He is a guy who could present problems that he, again, he had 144 yards against the Broncos. Kind of the first time they really unleashed him. He's been, you know, on the season, if you look before that, he had 57, 69, and 66 yards before that. And hadn't reached the 20 carry barrier. That if I'm the Raiders, that's what I do. I try and slow it down, muck it up, and really, as good as the Chiefs' run defense has been, I kind of see that as maybe the key to the game. If they can maybe get Jacobs going, slow it down, control possession, and the Chiefs' running game is I was so impressed by it against that good Bucs defense. I think again the running game on both sides, the Chiefs can keep that going. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a contest. And if the Raiders can slow things down and kind of, you know, keep the Chiefs off the field, you know, maybe they can make it something.
Yeah, I think another matchup to watch is probably, you know, our good friends, Andrew Wiley and Max Crosby, right? College teammates.
Good call.
I think that's going to be one that I know I'm going to have my eyes on, because, you know, that can be, I'm not going to say that's going to be a pivot point for the entire defensive game plan for the Raiders. But, you know, if Andrew can have a good game against Max, that's going to really shut things down. You know, if they can give Patrick time to do the things that he needs to do, we just need to make sure that, you know, we don't let that matchup get, you know, Patrick, you know, freaking out and get him out of the pocket. So that's one I know I'm definitely going to be watching. Plus the fact that they were college teammates and they know each other. That's always a fun thing to think about. Think about what those two guys are saying to each other, right, in the heat of battle, right? After we've been living with the Chris Jones, debacle with the Colts. And like, think about what two guys who played against each other in college are talking about as they're beating the living heck out of each other. Play after play, you know, 60, 70 plays in a game. So that's going to be a fun one for me to watch. I just for a lot of reasons, not just because it's a pivotal matchup, but I think just because of the fact that there's that history there, that would be really fun to see, for like kind of bragging rights, so that the people back at their, at their school are get a chance to talk about that one. I know that would be a fun one, but this game is, don't want this fan base to lose Raider week. You know, I mean, it's just for so long, it was the game, and it just feels, I don't know. I feel like it's slipping a little bit, Jeff. I don't know.
Totally. When they're 1-3, And you know, I want the Raiders to be good. I think it's more fun when you have a good foil on the Raiders. It's such a rivalry. Joe, great call on the Crosby Wiley thing, but you know, obviously not only just going to this the same as a school, but that's he's the Raiders' best defensive player. And Crosby has handled him, excuse me, Wiley has handled Crosby so well. Because if you think if you look at both players, you think of Crosby as, you know, he's the Pro Bowler, you think he has the edge, but Wiley's really handled him last year. The other interesting part of that, why he's such a focal point, I looked at the Raiders and again, I thought they were going to be a pretty good team this year. Chandler Jones had 107, he has 107.5 sacks in his career, just a really good player. He's got none this year. He has eight total tackles on the year. He's really been kind of a disappointment, which puts more emphasis, you know, going into this match. I'm like, oh, you know, they can't concentrate on Crosby because they've got Jones, but it really makes Crosby even more of a focal point.
Which is good because I think it maybe give give Orlando Brown just maybe a little bit more confidence. I've been watching him, and the thing that I'm seeing when I watch him is, it just seems like his feet are just a step behind, just a hair behind right now. And I don't know whether he's nursing something, because we don't know, right? You don't know what he's
And
telling,
he
not
was on the
telling.
injury list before the Colts game. So yeah,
Yeah, I
that's
mean, I just there's
pretty bad.
something. So if you're a fan, and I know it's so hard to take your eyes off of like Mahomes and Kelce sometimes, because you just the magic, you don't know what's going to happen between those two and this burgeoning receiving core that we have, right? That everybody's trying to find their way. And like, I think this past game against the Bucs was a real showcase of what you can do with what I would call a diverse receiving core, right? That catch that MVS made, like kind of like over his back shoulder, right down the seam, and he kind of like contorted his body, made that beautiful throw, made that beautiful catch from a beautiful throw by Patrick. But it was a tough catch, and like they just have this. It's been a blast to watch that, and then of course you're going to want to watch how Clyde and Isaiah are competing for every yard. But if you do get a chance to focus on the line a little bit, see, for the listeners that are listening in. Watch Orlando Brown's feet, and you tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm missing something, because it just seems like his feet are just a half a step behind.
On
It's just
both
like
pass blocking and run blocking, you're saying?
both. Yes, both. I just there's something. It's just he's just like I said, he's just a split second behind. And it's causing him to have to overcompensate in certain ways, and it's just what I've noticed. And look, is he's an all-pro player. I get it. He's going to command a lot of money coming out of, this contract with free agency and everything. And who am I to talk? But I just have I have this little weird suspicious feeling or sinking feeling that something he's nursing something, and he doesn't want to come out because he's at the end of this contract, and he wants to make sure he stays on the field. But there's just a do me that favor, as our listeners. Listen, just watch Orlando on a few plays, key pivotal plays, and see what you think. If you think his feet are off a little bit, because that's what I'm sensing. I think the interior is starting to come together a lot better, and I think Andrew's holding his own. I think right now, I think Orlando, just if he had to go against a premier, I mean, like an ultra premier rusher, I would worry. About that game, about whether or not he'd be able to handle it, just given what I've seen with his feet right now.
Great insight there, Joe. Well, listen, folks, we've got to get Joe his sandwich for dinner.
But I'm not going to have any bologna and sandwich between Italian bread. I might have to. I'll do some Italian meats and cheeses. Don't worry. I'll keep with the Italian tradition there.
One last note before we let Joe eat. I know everyone is going to be talking about Mahomes' Houdini-like spinorama on the Edwards-Helaire touchdown pass, but number 73. Nick Allegretti, who's wearing Joe's old number, was the tackle eligible player on that play and was also open. Well, if you enjoy this show presented by BetOnline, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.